Hello and welcome to Car Talk on National Public Radio with us, Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers. And we're broadcasting this week from the Fall Foliage Observation Deck here at Car Talk Plaza.
Yeah, but why is it in the basement?
They screwed up.
After the leaves fall to the ground, we'll be able to see them through the grate up here.
That's right. We're right next to Dougie's office. That's where the Fall Foliage Observation Deck is.
I love it.
All right, I got some mail here. You can get to pick. Okay, here are the three choices. One letter having to do with health. One letter having to do with a resolution to a problem we've faced in a long time. And a little quick quiz.
The quiz.
Here it is. It's from Tibor Mazar. Also, I'm reading in the middle, so I don't have to give you the whole thing. Since one or both of you have expressed a desire to serve as philosopher king, I thought the enclosed exam might help to qualify your credentials for such high office.
I wouldn't be so presumptuous as to think I could be philosopher king, so it must be who?
Must be for me, you. So you should give me the quiz, but I'll just tell you what I'm up against. This is a quiz that has various categories. Like, you can pick it. History, medicine, public speaking, music, psychology, sociology, biology, engineering. You name it, man.
You pick one, man. I'm
ready. Okay. Medicine.
Good.
You're in the room taking the test, right? You're right across medicine. You have been provided with a razor blade, a piece of gauze, and a bottle of scotch. Remove your appendix. Do not suture your work until it has been inspected. You have 15 minutes. All right, you want music?
Music's good.
Write a piano concerto. Orchestrate and perform it with flute and drum. You'll find the piano under your chair. I like this. I'll give you a couple of more later on in the day.
Okay. If you'd like to call us.
I could do this.
Yeah. I like the concerto thing. If you want to call us about your car, call us at 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
This is Laureen from Rochester, New York.
Laureen?
Laureen.
L-A-U-R-E-N-E?
No, L-O-R-R-E-E-N. It's got a lot of letters.
Wait, did you say two R's?
Right, two R's and two E's.
Ooh, I only had one R.
From Rochester.
Right.
What's up, Laureen?
Well, I have a 1971 Dodge Dart, 4-door sedan, and it's a very lovely shade of brown, the color of the car. It runs generally pretty good, but it was purchased from an older gentleman who drove it very infrequently.
That would be me.
Just like him.
That's probably true. I think the mileage is around 65,000 at this point. The problem is with it is that there's some stalling problems, and it seems to be running kind of rough lately.
Yeah, you got a problem with that?
Yeah. Well, the real problem is if you drive it at night, you know, once you park it somewhere, you come back to the car, you can't get it started. But if you return the following morning, it'll always start.
Oh.
Really?
Yeah, so it's the perfect car for a designated driver, I guess, or non-designated driver.
Well, you said at night, but what if you drove for in the daytime?
You don't take this car out in the
daytime. It'll start up fine. It seems to be when it's dark and there's no heat from any.
But if you drove it for say an hour and then parked it for 2 hours, would it park? Would it start?
Yes, it'll start. Yeah, yeah.
But if you do that same thing at night, it won't start.
Right.
Oh, come on, give us a break, will you?
But it does stall like when you're on idle. It'll die out on you. Like if you're waiting for a light and stuff. But you can get it started usually.
Well, I think that the night or day has nothing to do with it.
I just thought it was an interesting slant.
It is an interesting slant, like
slant
the engines. But what has to do with it, I think, is the likelihood that the carburetor is running way too rich.
Oh, okay.
And what's more likely is that when you do drive at night, for example, you're not driving far enough for the engine to really heat up and the choke to open up all the way,
and
the plugs are getting fouled.
Right.
And I think if you look at the kind of trips you take, you have to take a longer trip in the daytime and a shorter trip at night.
That's probably true.
Yeah. I would think that's probably true. Yeah. So if you took a longer trip at night and parked it, it would start right up, because night has nothing to do with that much of anything.
It has all the earmarks of a carburetor problem.
Yes.
Either a choke that isn't opening all the way or a carburetor that's flooding out.
Should I rebuild the carburetor?
Maybe not. I mean, you might just need to replace the choke.
Oh, okay.
That's just a guess, naturally.
Yeah.
Have someone pull out the spark plugs. They'll be able to tell a lot from what the spark plugs look like.
Yeah, that's true. You're probably right, because they tend to be replaced quite frequently, and they're going foul.
So. Ah.
No, they are.
Yeah.
Aha.
When they foul, do you know what they look like? Are they all black and sooty?
Yes, they are.
Yes.
That's it. Oh. My brother is 100% right.
All right.
Flooding out.
Well, Lorene, I would think the carburetor may be ready for a rebuild, but if you're lucky, it's just a choke.
Okay.
Good luck.
All right, thank you.
All righty, bye-bye.
Bye.
Ciao.
1-888-CAR-TALK or 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
This is Bill from Camarillo, California.
Where's that?
It's about 50 miles north of L.A.
Okay.
Oh.
I'm a senior in high school, have my homecoming dance coming up in a month, right? Our family has three cars. One is the white family van. Another one, the station wagon. Third one, Saturn sedan 97, which is a stick shift.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when I took my driver's training, we didn't own a stick shift.
I got it, man.
So
you're
exactly
stuck with having to go to the homecoming dance in a van.
Exactly.
Or a station wagon.
Exactly.
Well, who's going on this? Who's going to this dance? Just you and the young lady of your choice?
Yes, me and my date and one of my friends and his date. I also need to drive.
So you have a license, but you don't know how to drive a stick shift, and you want some pointers from us.
And you want to know, can you learn in a month?
Yeah.
You can learn in an hour. How motivated are you?
Very, very. Are you kidding? How motivated is he? He's got an opportunity to embarrass himself so he'll never be able to face any of his friends or better, worse yet, women again. You're going to show up in a Dodge Caravan for the prom.
Oh, it's
what
worse
are
than
you
that.
Nuts?
It might be a B250 van. What kind of a van is it?
It's a Honda Odyssey.
It's not so bad.
Not too bad, but, oh, man, are you kidding?
Van.
It's a van.
No, and there's nothing as impressive as being able to drive stick shift.
Exactly.
And yeah. There's nothing as embarrassing as stalling out 20 times.
Yeah, so don't forget, even though you may think you have mastered this, when you pull away from this girl's house and you stall the thing 7 times.
Oh, worse yet.
You're going to feel like a moron.
Worse yet, you do one of those.
You're the bunny hop.
Bang your head against the steering wheel 20 or 30
times. Right, your corsage is going to come flying off. And she's going to throw up on her prom dress. Drive the automatic.
No, you can do it, man. I know you can do it.
So you want some pointers? Is that what
yeah,
you want?
Yeah, that'd be great.
Have you driven stick shift at all?
Yes, I have.
And how do you think, how would you rate yourself?
Stinko.
It depends. Am I on hills or not?
Oh, hills.
Yeah, you're on hills.
Yeah.
How many hills are there where you're going?
Quite a few.
Oh, man. Bummer.
Can you go during off hours so you can... I remember when I first learned to drive stick shift, I would go 20 miles out of my way to avoid a hill start.
Yeah.
And
I forgot about hills.
Yeah. You know the technique, don't you, for hill starts?
Not a clue.
Okay. This car, I believe, has a handbrake that's a lever that you pull, something between the seats.
Yeah.
Good.
That's good, man.
Good. Yeah. And what you're going to do is when you've come to a complete stop, you are going to set the handbrake so that now the car will not roll down the hill, even though you've removed your foot from the foot brake.
Uh-huh.
See, and now you've solved a big problem because you have two pedals to contend with and 2 feet.
Mm-hmm.
How nice.
So what you then do is you begin to drive the car when the light turns green,
mm-hmm.
as if you were on level ground. And the advantage of having the handbrake hold the car is that it won't roll backwards and crash into the pickup truck behind you.
Okay, so if you
But it does take a bit of practice because the first time you do it, you'll stall the car. The second time you do it, you'll take off so fast you won't know what happened.
You drive right by your house.
Because the car doesn't go, so you keep giving it more gas, letting the clutch out. And pretty soon the clutch is 3/4 of the way out, and the gas is 3/4 of the way down to the floor, and you let go of the handbrake, and off you go, man. Everybody's in the back seat, including you.
Is this girl that you're taking to the homecoming, is she the kind that's going to blab around the whole school that you're a klutz if you fail miserably?
Not the whole school.
No, just
it won't get to
just
the
her small circle of
200
six,
girlfriends.
200
yeah, pretty much.
See, I mean, the safe thing would be to use the Honda Odyssey,
mm-hmm.
but it wouldn't be the cool thing.
No.
And I think you've got to get out right now.
Yeah.
and start practicing.
And you see, I need to learn how to drive it because if the Odyssey breaks down and I can't drive the sedan, I'm stuck with an 87 Toyota Camry station wagon.
I shouldn't do this, but I'm going to give you a backup plan.
Okay.
Here's what you do.
Mm-hmm.
If you're a little nervous on the night of the homecoming dance,
yeah,
you pull up the handbrake halfway.
Okay.
And so the brakes are always going to be on. They'll burn up.
Right. And
if
then,
you want
and
to.
And then this girl's going to say, what's that smell, Bill?
No, but if you want to, as soon as you get moving, you can then let off the handbrake, and when no one's looking, pull it back up halfway again.
Uh-huh.
So that when you're doing the real driving, the brakes are off.
You've got a month.
Yes.
You can do it.
Yeah, you can.
Yeah, and I know we're going to have to talk to you on Stump the Chumps.
Yeah.
We want to find out how you did.
Okay.
I mean, if you have trouble, you got a cell phone?
Yeah.
Call us and we'll talk you down.
Oh, okay.
Good luck, Bill.
Thank you very much.
Have a wonderful time.
I will try.
Thanks for calling.
Thank you.
See you later.
Bye.
Oh, what trouble we get ourselves into.
I mean, can you remember
being...
When
females are involved.
Yeah.
That's all.
Yeah, well, it's true. Little do they know how much power they have, or do they?
Shh. 1-888 Car Talk. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, my name's Jane.
Hi, Jane.
Jane.
Hi. Yeah.
Just plain Jane, huh?
That's it.
Are you a plain person? No.
No, not particularly.
That's mm-hmm. good.
No, you don't sound.
Where are you from, Jane?
I'm from Issaquah, Washington.
From who?
Issaquah. Issaquah, Washington.
Issaquah?
Issaquah.
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 I like it. Very nice.
Yes.
Okay, good. All right.
Now what's up?
I have a Subaru.
Mm-hmm.
And to get to my home where I live, I have to go up this narrow 2-lane hill road.
Okay. Yeah.
And I have to pass by this house that has this vicious German Shepherd. Vicious.
Really?
And sometimes he gets out of his fence.
Oh.
And if he gets out of his fence, he waits by the side of the road for cars to come by.
And he eats them.
And he'll run out.
Yeah.
And so your knee-jerk reaction is to stop because you don't want to hit somebody's pet, you know. If you stop, he'll bite your tires, and he has popped mine.
Get out.
He bit a hole into the tire and flattened it.
And then you can't get out to change the tire.
No.
He'll bite a hole in you.
That's right. Yeah, it's frightening.
So, yeah, I believe they can do it.
But well, that's some serious jawbones there. Wow.
Well, what I was wondering, what you guys can help me with.
Bleach.
I was wondering if I put pepper spray in the tires, if this is going to deteriorate the rubber and null and void the road hazard warning.
So that when he bites through the tire... So
huh?
When he bites through the tire, he'll get the pepper spray?
He'll get the pepper spray, yeah.
And you think that this is going to cure him?
Well, I don't know.
I don't think so. It might make him bite through the door. You might infuriate him enough.
Jeez. I mean, there are various approaches, depending on the kind of person you are. I mean, there's the diplomatic approach.
There's the punitive approach.
The diplomatic approach is you get the name on the mailbox, you go home, you call the person, you say, my God, I know you don't know this, but your dog just bit through my tire, and he scares the living hell out of me every time I drive by. Is there any way you could make sure he doesn't get over the fence?
Uh-huh.
Thank you very much. This is Jane.
There's no mailbox, anyway.
Who lives here? Like Ted Kaczynski?
I don't know.
You don't know?
I don't know.
Oh, the Klopex live there.
Anyone could live there.
I mean,
lives there.
You could find out. You could go to the police and find out. There are various ways.
It would be the Mounties, yeah.
I would go for the behavioral modification approach.
Which is?
I would mount on the bottom of the car a couple of cans of mace.
Oh, you guys are mean. No, that's... You can't.
And I would purposely slow down in front of the house, and as he came running out growling and snarling, I would press the remote button that I have installed on the dashboard and spray that little baby with mace. He will whine and scream and he'll run back, and the next time he sees a red Subaru, yours is red.
No, it's blue.
A blue Subaru.
Mm-hmm.
He'll run for his life.
That's what I'm thinking.
No, that is the retributive approach. You're trying to do back to the dog what he did to you.
Yeah, the
and
truth
you're lowering
is...
you're lowering yourself to the dog's level. Well, next thing you know, you'll be peeing on his tires.
The truth is that the dog has nothing to do with it. My brother is right. The dog is simply being a dog. It's the owner of the dog who
right.
is the moron. Because
right.
if he has a dog that is prone to this kind of behavior, he should be making 100% sure that that dog is penned up all the time.
Right.
So we've got to get to him.
Okay.
The police. You got to go to the police.
All right.
Jane, I wish you the very best with this strange problem you have.
Thank you.
But don't hurt the dog.
No.
So don't do the pepper
no,
spray.
No, she
huh?
wouldn't hurt the dog. You wouldn't hurt the dog.
No. See you later, Jane.
Okay, thanks.
Bye.
Bye.
Maybe
you can do anything to the owner that you want, but don't hurt the
owner is a jerk.
Don't hurt the dog.
The owner's a jerk.
Okay, look. Here we go with your puzzler hints.
All right, I will do my level best.
Well, that's why I make them easy. Okay, this one's historic. Before our independence, we were a colony owned by blank.
Yeah, ex-wives. I knew that one right away.
No, I was looking for England. Okay, here's one
more. Oh, yeah, England.
When someone says to you, your car's a heap, you reply, this means blank.
This means then I guess you're not going to buy it from me? Is that it?
No. This means war.
This means
the puzzler was about
England
a man from
war.
From England during the war. And I'll have the answer in just a minute.
Junior Myers got an Oldsmobile 442. It's big and black and got a fat red stripe running down the hood and running down the back. Under the shadow of a bald knob cross, driving through the hills and running from the cops. Tell your mama and your pop I'm just as cold and hard as a gun that Junior bought his bag and play. Don't you shoot? Hey, say please. Don't shoot.
And even though butchers everywhere cast sideways glances at their meat cleavers whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR.
Support for the Car Talk podcast and this message come from NPR sponsor Traditional Medicinals. Traditional Medicinals is the herbal tea company that lives up to its name, traditional, because of the formulas based on herbal traditions that have supported health and wellness for centuries, and medicinal because of the ethically sourced, high-quality herbs like the slippery elm and echinacea in their soothing throat coat teas for those colder months. Use promo code CARTALK for 20% off at checkout, powered by Traditional Medicinals.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Kay Buxbaum in support of the David Gilkey and Zabiula Tamana Memorial Fund, established to strengthen NPR's commitment to training and protecting journalists in high-risk environments.
Maddie Sofia here, host of Shortwave, a new daily science podcast from NPR. We'll bring you new discoveries, everyday mysteries, and the science behind the headlines, all in about 10 minutes every weekday. So you come away a little smarter, or at least you look that way. On Trivia Night. Listen and subscribe now to Shortwave from NPR.
Oh, hi, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and we're here to talk about cars, car repairs, and the answer to last week's puzzler. And this puzzler comes from my World War II series.
Yeah.
A long, very long war.
There have been a lot of them.
Yes.
You haven't done any of 15th century wars for a long time.
No.
Or whatever those earlier ones were. The guys with the bows and arrows. What yeah. When was that?
The Crusades and the like. What were you talking about?
I don't know.
Agincourt?
That's it. Yeah.
Anyway, here it is. David Thorndike had been operating as a spy behind the German lines even before the outbreak of hostilities in 1939. I should mention that the names have not been changed. They've been completely made up.
Oh, so these are not real names.
No, anyway, as the son of an English father and a German mother, Thorndike was perfectly suited for spying on the Germans. His knowledge of the language, German culture, history, music were unsurpassed.
Yeah.
And yet among his colleagues, he was not above suspicion. In the Third Reich, nobody was above suspicion. He was watched carefully, but never a false move did he make. As the war wore on and invasion plans materialized, of course he knew about these because he was a spy, he became encouraged, even euphoric, that soon the war would end and he would return to jolly old England.
Yeah, that's it. Until we discuss this, it's jolly old England, Merry Christmas, and jolly England.
Whatever. And one day, while he was in Berlin, maybe lost in his thoughts, thinking about his return to jolly old England, he was standing on a busy street corner getting ready to cross the street when he felt a tug on his sleeve and a pistol in his ribs. He'd been discovered.
Yeah.
How?
Mm-hmm. This was so easy.
You think, huh?
Oh, I mean, even Dougie got it immediately.
Oh, I hadn't meant for it to be that easy.
You didn't.
His English birth betrayed him.
Yeah, because he looked to the right.
As he was stepping off the curb, he looked to the right, and that's the direction that the cars would be coming from if you were in England.
Jolly old.
Jolly old, or merry old.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Merry old. But old David Thorndike is nowhere now. Except maybe.
So he looked in the wrong direction, and of course, the Gestapo guy who'd been following him around.
Who was suspicious of him anyway.
From the very beginning.
Just needed one little thing and to shoot him, an excuse. To shoot him in the ribs, and that's what
that
he
was it. That was
said,
it.
That's it. Of course, what we didn't know was that there was someone over to his right who yelled out, "Hey, David!" He turns to the right, bingo, he's dead.
Anyway, who's our winner?
The winner is Jill Sanford from Fort Collins, Colorado. And for having her answer selected at random from all the other correct answers that we got this week.
Jill, she winning a hot point range? What?
She's going to get a a Kenmore washer dryer.
Stackable?
A stackable washer dryer. And a $25 gift certificate to the Shameless Commerce Division at cartalk.com. And with that $25, she can get a washer dryer from Sears.
Well, Jill, if you're not home when they deliver the washer dryer, back they go.
Or she can get a copy of our CD, Born Not to Run, which features the best of the funny songs we play whenever we go to our breaks. You know, the ones we're talking about, right?
Oh, yeah, of course, yeah. These are the ones they use to try to drown us out.
That's it.
Anyway, we'll have a brand new puzzler coming up in the third half of the show today, so don't go away. In the meantime, if you have a question about your car, give us a call. The number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-2-2-7-8-2-5-5. Mm. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Steve.
Hi, Steve.
I live in beautiful Los Angeles.
Los Angeles?
That's right. And
I was just going to ask you, are you in any way associated with the entertainment industry?
Oh, yes, as a matter of fact, I am.
Oh, yeah. You know how I knew?
No.
Your voice. You have
a theatrical voice.
Kind of voice.
Oh, no.
Yeah, you do.
What?
You have a future in movies. Who is this? Steve who? Are you a famous person?
No,
you're not. No. Well, you will be one of these days. keep up with that waiting job. Waitering job. And someday your ship will come in. Okay. Next caller. Hello.
Hello. Is this Steve from Los Angeles?
Hey, you're on Career Talk. So what's up, Steve?
you guys got to bail me out here. I'm in a bit of a fix.
Uh-oh.
Have
your wife, girlfriend, or both?
Well, it has to do with my wife, actually.
Uh-huh.
I have a 1985 Volvo 740 GLE.
Mm-hmm.
It started a couple of months ago where the temperature gauge drops to zero. In other words, drops as if it were cold while it's running, while I'm driving. And at the same time, the oil pressure light comes on faintly. Now, when this first happened, obviously, the oil pressure light comes on, you stop the car immediately and check the oil. There's nothing wrong with the oil. There's enough oil, and the pressure's fine.
Wait a minute. How do you know the pressure's fine?
Because the engine hasn't seized, and he knows.
I believe that it is
that the
fine.
The fault is electrical.
Yeah.
Don't you, Steve?
Sure.
It is probably. And the other thing is that it's never come on more than a very faint brightness.
Yeah.
At any rate, I told my wife that I could, this was not a problem, it was something electrical and I could fix it, no problem.
Yeah. And she said, you're going to wreck the engine and I'll never speak to you again, you moron.
Well, there was that, plus the fact that I haven't been able to find it. I have secretly taken it now to three different places.
Secretly?
I'm going to buy parts.
Oh, so you could, like, some Saturday just stand there in the driveway with the hood up and say, ah, I've got it, hon. Here is the wire, and bingo, it's working.
Well, yeah, exactly.
And you want us to help you perpetrate this fraud?
Well,
love to.
I'll be happy to fix it myself. It's just that I haven't found it. The guys at the shop have been in three times. Mm. They can't fix it, and they're now starting to threaten to charge me by the hour to look for it, you know, at $85 an hour.
Well, that's what they get. Hey, want to move to L.A.?
Wow. 85, huh?
85.
That's for two guys, right?
No, that's for one guy. And that's not to fix it. That's just to look for it.
That's just to look for it, yeah.
When you took it to these places, did these guys indicate that they knew anything about how this stuff worked?
Oh, yes. Two of them were Volvo dealers.
Oh, they were?
Oh, yeah.
Are the temperature gauge and the oil pressure gauge right next to each other?
And then the oil light.
It's an oil
light. It's a light. Oh, it's a light.
And are they close to each other on the...
They're on the same dashboard.
Well, we know that.
But they're not contiguous, for example.
That's correct.
And when this happens, does the gas gauge do anything?
Nope. Nothing else.
Then it probably is not the voltage regulator. Gee, this is a tough one.
Well, he's
got to bail him out because his wife is going to think he's a moron.
Yeah, otherwise.
Well, I'd rather have her think he's a moron than us.
I tell you what, I'll keep your names out of it.
Yeah, keep my names out of it.
I mean, she doesn't know that I've called you.
Well, yet.
Well, so she just won't listen for a while.
Okay.
Oh, they're not on anymore.
They're not on anymore.
I don't like them anymore.
Right. They gave too many wrong answers. They couldn't help anybody. NPR canceled.
Well, I'll tell you, I've got to lean toward it being in the instrument cluster.
Mm.
I think so. And I think the easiest thing for you to do is go to the junkyard and buy a new instrument cluster.
Wow.
Really?
Spend $50 or whatever. And
2 days putting it in.
Oh, wait a minute. You don't know. You don't know what it's like here in L.A. You can't buy anything in a junkyard that has Volvos for $50.
All right, we'll mail you one. What is it, an 85?
85.
What's your odometer read?
What would you like it to read?
Just turned 150, actually.
Just turned one.
How about 39.9?
What would you pay for one that read 85,000? Would you pay $300, Steve?
Probably. I think it'd be worth it.
No, well, on the other hand, I think you might do better off going to a shop that specializes in electrical stuff.
Okay.
Rather than Volvos.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, because it's obvious that this is a problem they haven't seen before.
Mm.
And that's the only reason for going to the dealership, that they won't have to scurry around saying, what the heck is this? But
with
if they're doing that anyway, what's the sense of going there and paying them $85 an hour? You can pay an electrical guy $85 an hour, and he'll find it in an hour.
I mean, I don't pay my psychotherapist that much.
Yeah, well.
Well, that's why he's not helping you. But
how can you tell? I mean, have you tried the time-honored method of whacking it with the back of your hand?
I have whacked it to the point where I shook the mounts for the radio loose, and I've got a crack in the dashboard.
Oh, that's too bad.
But when the thing goes down, does it stay down for a long time?
Yes. And as a matter of fact, it's now been down permanently for, a week and a half.
Oh, perfect. This is the time to...
Oh, thank you.
This is absolutely the time to get it into somebody, because they're gonna figure out it's the printed circuit board on the instrument cluster.
Really?
Yeah. And they're going to figure it out by popping in a new one. They're going to figure it out in 15 minutes. That's what you... Yeah. Now that we love these problems. When the stuff is really broken, any idiot can fix it, including us. And them too. But when it's intermittent, it's very hard to figure it out because you don't know if you fixed it.
Okay, now I'm going to just give you one last piece of advice.
Uh-oh.
You're sitting behind the wheel, okay?
Yeah.
Close your hand into a fist and put your hand under the steering wheel, just about in the center of that steering column,
right,
and swing it briskly to the right and smash into the side of that console where the radio is?
Yes.
Just once. I don't know why. That just came to me. You just try that. I don't know. That was an idea unencumbered.
By the thought process.
By the thought process.
Make sure your knee's out of the way, Steve.
Yeah. And take the coffee cup out of your hand before you try this. Hey, good luck, Steve.
Go for the instrument cluster.
I'm going to try that, but we're going to have to play Stump the Chump on this one later.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. I'd love to.
All right.
I especially want to hear about the boom on the side of that console.
We'll keep you in mind, Steve.
Thanks, guys.
See you later. Bye-bye.
It is embarrassing, though, when you've told your wife, don't worry, hon, this is nothing, I can fix it. And then weeks go by.
Yeah, I know, especially when you're taking it to the Volvo dealer and they haven't figured it out.
You've tried every piece of skullduggery possible.
This is another example of how guys get themselves in trouble by lying to their wives. And you know what it is? It's all ego.
Oh, of course.
It is.
Especially when it comes to mechanical things.
Yeah.
I can take care of that, hon.
And it's always embarrassing when your wife says, doesn't that bolt turn the other way? 1-888-CAR-TALK or 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, gentlemen. This is Heidi from Lacey, Washington.
Hi, Heidi.
Heidi from L-A-C-E-Y?
L-A-C-E-Y. It's about 50 miles south of Seattle.
Okay, we're with you.
I've got a Toyota 4Runner. Got quite a few miles on it, and I'm trying to sell it. I'm a single mother going to school, and I've got to get rid of this truck. Well, it's got an interesting noise coming out of the rear end. When I start to accelerate, it makes an interesting clink, clank, clink kind of noise.
When you first start off from a dead stop?
Uh-huh. And when I also come to a stop, it makes that clink, clank, clink, clink noise.
Yeah, that's bad.
But it also has a sugar, 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 sugar kind of a noise that goes along the speed of the car. And it kind of sounds like a train underneath the car.
So it speeds up and it slows down.
So if you slow down from 60 to 30, the frequency of this thing, which is very regular, slows down to half.
Exactly.
Do you notice any vibration at high speed? Or do you dare to drive at high speed? Or maybe has the vibration been there so long that you're not aware of it?
I might not notice it.
And if you're getting rid of this vehicle, why do you care what the noise is?
Well, I already marked it down $1,000 from Blue Book, and I'm just wondering if I should leave it there.
Oh, or is it something terrible?
Or do I have to fix it before I sell it?
Yeah. Okay, that's good.
So you don't have a regular person to whom you take it who would give you some...
Not at all, no.
Not at all. Maybe that's why it's in such bad shape. I mean, the first thing that comes to mind is that it's a universal joint. Yeah. Clink, 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 clink. And what's the other noise again?
It's like kind of a whirring or like a sugar, 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 sugar,
sugar. Sugar,
like
sugar.
Could it be described as a kind of a squeaking noise? Like, maybe not quite as.
Don't let him talk you into this.
No, the power of suggestion is very strong here. Heidi, you are falling into a deep sleep. Could it be more like a gentle croaking as opposed to a shh?
You're just determined to make it into
a universal joint. Well, I am because I have no ready alternative, and
it's not a universal joint.
Well,
because it's the wrong sound.
Well, the tinka 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 is the right sound for a U joint. I mean, when those needles.
I never heard her say tinka tinka. Yeah. I heard you say tinka tinka.
No. Heidi, say Heidi.
Yes.
Have we met before?
No, sir.
Did you not say that one of the noise you get is like a tinka, tinka, tinka noise?
It was a kind of a clink, clank when I start out.
Clink, clank.
Mm-hmm.
Clink, clank, which is the classic noise you get from a universal joint whose roller bearings are worn out. And then if the joint is dried up and rusted, you can get a... maybe
I do kind of get a creaking. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. I do. But I was more concerned about the train sounds underneath the car.
Yeah.
Well, I think the train sound could all be coming from, and the vehicle is the right age to have a seized or worn out or both universal joint. Yeah.
Okay.
And it's something that your mechanic will be able to figure out in 3 minutes.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, and if you're discounted at $1,000 for this... You ought to go and get this fixed because for a couple of $100 you can get this fixed. And if the thing sounds great, You can jack that price way back up.
Hey.
Yeah. So what are you asking for this thing, in case we have anyone out there who's interested?
I'm asking $35.
$35. That's the discounted price.
That's the discounted price.
So yeah. When you fix this huge one, you're going to get it back up to, you know, $47.
Yeah.
I think I'll maybe go like four and see what happens.
All right. Yeah. Well, good. I have a strong feeling that that's what it is, but
I have to say, I agree with you.
Be ready. You may get a call from the Stump the Chumps people.
No problem.
All right. See you, Heidi.
Thank you.
Bye.
Good luck.
Hey, man, I think it may be time for us to take a break.
What makes you say that? Why?
Well, our producer is jumping all over the place, waving his arms on the other side of the glass.
No. That's because Louis just spilled a hot coffee in his lap.
Oh, we won't worry about it then. We'll be back with a new puzzler in just a minute. You need a fresh coffee, Louis?
I'll get it for you.
There's something about a rental that seems so appealing. It may just be a Yugo, but you go for wheeling. Play bumper cars on crowded city streets. Put your cigarettes out right in the seat. It's a rental. It's not really your car. You can knock down Harleys in front of a biker bar. You can drag race a hearse. Get it up to 90 and pop it in reverse.
And even though Hannibal Lecter pops a Zantac whenever he hears us say it, this is NPR.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from the American Jewish World Service, working together for more than 30 years to build a more just and equitable world. Learn more at ajws.org.
Think of NPR's Life Kit as that friend who always has great advice about everything from how to invest to how to get a great workout. We bring you tools to help you get it together. New episodes every Tuesday and Thursday. Listen and subscribe to Life Kit All Guides.
Ha! We're back. You're
Don't
listening
scare
to
me like that.
You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and we're here to discuss cars, car repair, and the new puzzler. Here it is, if I can remember it.
Yes.
A few months or weeks ago, one of my guys was under the hood of an old, I don't remember what it was, but it was an old Chevy pickup truck, trying to find a vacuum leak. Now, what a vacuum leak is it's a leak which allows air to get into the engine when it shouldn't be getting into that spot.
And specifically into the combustion chamber.
Into the combustion chamber. All the air that enters an engine should come either through the carburetor, if the car has one, or through the throttle body. And any air that comes in through any other source is called a vacuum leak, and it affects the way the thing runs. If the leak is sufficiently large, the thing won't run at all, or it certainly won't run at idle, and it'll stall out every time you take your foot off the gas, and that's exactly the problem that this thing had.
Mm-hmm.
So there he is, and the way you find vacuum leaks is you get lucky, and you hear the hissing, and you say, ah, there it is, and you put your finger on a hose that's broken or a pipe that's gotten disconnected, or we use a little wand that shoots propane, and you go around with this thing attached to the other end of which is attached to a propane tank, and you squirt this propane all over the place, and when the vacuum leak and the propane meet, you'll suck the propane in, and the engine will begin to run smoothly, and in fact, it'll even idle, because now you're making the fuel-air mixture correct. You with
right.
me so
and
far?
As soon as you take the propane wand away, all of a sudden you got far more air compared to the fuel than you're supposed to have, and it runs lousy again.
Exactly. So there he is with the wand, and he's having lousy luck.
He's underneath the vehicle?
No, he's under the hood.
Under the hood,
under
okay.
the hood, and the engine is running, but the leak is so big, the leak is so pervasive and yet so evasive that he can't seem to find it.
Wow.
So, and plus the fact that on a pickup truck, your feet are dangling in the air. stuff is falling out of your pockets. It's a pain. So in desperation, he throws the stuff down, and he shuts off the engine, and a few minutes later, I walk by, and I see him doing something very interesting. He's pulling off the spark plug wires, and he's putting them back on, but on the wrong plugs.
Ooh.
I say,
what do I care? None of my business.
None of my business. Why should I care?
Maybe it'll work better.
And I walk away.
Yeah.
2 minutes later, I hear him on the phone ordering the part that he needs to correct the vacuum leak. How did he do it? Now, if you think you know the answer, write it on the back of a $20 bill or a piece of fresh fruit and send it to Puzzler Tower, Car Talk Plaza, Box 3500, Harvard Square, Cambridge.
Our Fair City.
Matt 02238. Or, of course, you can email your answer from cartalk.com. 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Abby from North Carolina.
Abby?
Hi, Abby.
Yes, how are you doing?
A-B-B-E-Y?
No E, just A-B-B-Y.
Got it. From where?
North Carolina.
North Carolina.
Yeah.
First in flight.
Yeah. Well, I'm not from here. So.
That's what they said about Uncle Enzo. Anyway, what's going on, Abby?
Well, I have a 1996 Honda Accord EX, and a few weeks ago, I went to drop off a friend of mine, and she has a very long, very steep driveway. It's probably at about a 45-degree angle.
Toward the house or toward the street?
It goes up to the house.
Up to the house. Gotcha.
So I get up there, and I drop her off, and I was going to stay, but then I didn't. And so I started to back down the driveway. And as I was backing down, the car felt kind of funny. When I got to the bottom of the driveway, it really started vibrating. I thought something was wrong with the brakes. It just didn't feel like it was slowing down as much as I thought it should be.
Mm-hmm.
So I hurried and got off the driveway, of course, bottomed out a little bit. And then when I got to the bottom, I realized that I had reversed all the way down the driveway in drive.
Oh.
It's driven okay since then, but I notice now that every time I stop the car right when I get out, right when I open the driver's side door, I can smell something, kind of a burning smell. So I just didn't know if this has any kind of long-term negative impact on my car.
Boy, this is interesting. I don't think I've ever done anything like that.
I feel kind of, you know, ridiculous having done it, but I didn't really think that my car would roll backwards.
I wouldn't have thought so.
Oh, sure. First of all, I doubt her driveway is 45 degrees. I mean,
45 degrees is almost straight up. That's like a mountain.
Yeah, in fact,
it's pretty steep, though.
But if it were 45 degrees, the car would have flipped over backwards. Yeah, it's probably half that.
Uh-huh.
And I don't think you did any damage at all. There's enough slip inherent in every torque converter.
Uh-huh.
So that even though the wheels were going the other direction, the torque converter was trying to make you go forward, then I don't think you did anything.
You shouldn't have done any damage, and I don't think you should have any burning smell. I think you made it up just so you could call us.
Oh.
No, I think
you guys found me out.
If you, for example, were on a steep enough hill and you were trying to make the car go up the hill, but the hill was so steep that the car was sliding down the hill from the force of gravity, then you could probably cook the transmission. But with the engine idling as it was and your foot on the brake,
yeah,
I don't think you did any damage, and it's more likely that you drove over at some point. Now, of course, you're paranoid about it now because you know you did something stupid.
Yeah, I wondered about that, if it always kind of smelled like that. But
no. Well, no, it's possible that you drove over a plastic bag or some such thing which has adhered to your hot exhaust system, and now you're getting the smell every time the engine warms up and the exhaust system gets hot.
You're suffering from female guilt syndrome.
What's that?
All females, many females, no matter what goes wrong, they always assume that they did it.
Oh, yeah.
What did I do wrong? I must have made this happen.
You're right.
Yeah, I know. I know I'm right. I have studied the human female for many, many years and through many, many wives, I might add. And females tend to have this guilt syndrome. And so you didn't do anything.
And every one of them has come to the same conclusion.
Yeah.
Why did I marry him? It's my fault.
Well, don't worry about it. You didn't do anything terrible.
Okay.
It was a simple error. Any of us could have done it, and it didn't do any damage.
But don't drive up that stupid driveway anymore.
I haven't gone back up it again.
Don't even go out with her anymore.
Break off your friendship.
Yeah, the heck with her. What the hell kind of a house is that to live in? Come on. It's ridiculous.
See you, Abby.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
1-888-CAR-TALK or 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, guys. My name is John. I'm calling from Silver Spring, Maryland. And
Hi, John.
Is it Spring or Springs?
No S.
Silver Spring, yes. One Spring.
One right. Spring. Hmm.
Poor guys.
Leaf or coil? Yeah. What's up, John?
I have a 94 Dodge Caravan that has developed a strange noise.
Just? What do you mean just?
Just now?
You mean a strange new noise. Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Anyway, I guess about, 6,000 miles ago or so, it started making a chirping sound that happens every 11 seconds, or thereabouts anyway.
Oh, man, aren't you good?
It's strange because it doesn't always do it. And, you know, in preparation for trying to call you guys up, I was trying to figure out, okay, what exactly causes this to do it? And I thought for a while it only did it when it's warmed up. And the other day I hopped in the car and it was doing it immediately.
Really?
So does this happen while you're driving, or did you measure the 11 seconds when you were standing still with the engine running?
It doesn't running? Seem to do it when I'm standing still. It seems to do it only when I'm cruising, and it actually seems louder at higher speeds, like 65 to 75 miles an hour.
But if you're doing 50 miles an hour, is it still 11 seconds?
Pretty much, yeah. It does not change with speed.
Just one chirp.
One chirp.
Burp. One chirp.
Burp. That's it. It's just a burp.
Yeah, it's like a little chit.
While we're working on that, just so you won't be sitting there doing nothing, I have a similar problem in my house. Sometimes, and it doesn't always happen, I turn on the water in the kitchen sink. I shut the water off. And then I hear a noise, get this, in the ceiling.
That's bad.
Sounds like, it sounds, chirping, it's not a chirp, it's a thunk. And it goes, dunk, dunk, dunk. And it'll do it maybe 10, 12 times.
Get out of that house.
Yeah. Okay, get out of that car.
Deal.
So you work on that problem, and I'll work on yours.
Here's what I think it is.
I don't have a show called House Talk, guys.
Well, you may.
You have an idea already?
Yeah.
Well, I have an idea, but I know my mind stinks, and I'm embarrassed to even mention it, but you're not.
Never bothered me.
Am I right about that?
No, I'm not. When I give you the answer, you're going to say, Frank, you're a bleeding genius.
Really?
Well, there are a few gray areas.
I'm going to hold back on my ideas.
But this is so powerful as to sweep aside those small little inconsistencies that might creep into any argument against
it. And it'll reduce all incredulity. To zero. All right, I'm prepared.
I think the problem, the noise is coming from the air conditioner compressor, which will cycle on and off.
It does it regardless of whether the AC is on or off.
I told you it required considerable courage on my part.
Yeah, to believe that the compressor is running when the air conditioner is on. I can go along with that. I can live with that.
All right.
See, my thoughts were different. I immediately eliminated everything rotational. And I came to heat. You with me? Help me.
I'm with you. I'm with you.
Help me on
this. Yeah, you won't catch me going, bogus.
All right, help me on this. The 11 seconds, I will admit, is a challenge. But when things heat up, they expand. And sometimes they make noises. If he had not mentioned the 11 seconds and simply said there was an occasional chirping,
the first thing I would have come up with was a loose heat shield on the catalytic.
Exactly!
Converter.
And that is exactly what I'm thinking. But I can't make it come out to be 11 seconds.
Yeah.
But if he hadn't mentioned the 11 seconds...
Yeah, what'd you do that for, man? You ruined everything.
Well, it was killing me. I was on a road trip to Florida, and I had nothing to do but count how often it happened.
What, you don't have a radio? You should have been listening to some Sleepy LaBeef on the way down to Florida.
So, see, that's why I said I was embarrassed at my answer, and I wasn't going to mention it. But after yours, I figured everything was fair game. We never asked you, where do you think this sound is coming from?
I was convinced that it was coming from the rear of the car. But
see, that would have. I wish you had said that because it would have saved both of us, all three of us, in fact, a lot of embarrassment.
Considerable face.
The thing is, when you turn your head, though, I mean, it sounds like it comes from the front or beneath the, you know, right beneath the floor or something.
See, this is tough. I mean,
I've got it. Well, it's happened again. You swore that one of your precious few hours of
downtime. No, you can't get out of it that easy. Now, think about the odometer.
Yeah.
Now, that would be something if a mechanical odometer existed in the world today. That would be something which could make a noise with some kind of
regularity. But it wouldn't be every 11 seconds, irrespective of the speed. Have you taken it anywhere?
I've talked to my mechanic about it, and he said he heard the noise but couldn't really figure it out. He wanted me to bring it back.
Did he give you the mechanic shrug? Well, you've given us a lot to think about, John, and we don't think we're going to forget about you the second we hang up.
Right. So it'll take us at least 5 seconds to
but
forget
thanks
about
for you. Calling, Bill, and if we think of anything, we'll get right back to you.
Well, you know, you can visit our website, and you will have, I bet you, 1,000 people who send in emails that know exactly what your problem is.
What? That sounds like a great idea.
Doesn't it?
John, we'll work on it.
See you later.
Thanks a lot. Bye.
Jeez, I don't think we've ever been stuck for no answers that worked.
The AC answer was so good.
No, it wasn't. It stunk. It doesn't satisfy the 11-second criterion.
Oh, sure it does. It happens all the time, especially if there's not enough juice in the thing. It'll cycle on, go off, cycle on, go off, cycle on, go off. And it would all fit. Not enough freon, not enough lubrication. You get that little chirp when the thing starts up. It's beautiful.
The sound, I have to say, is exactly right.
It was elegant, and I felt...
You felt quite...
I felt a euphoria.
And he shot you down before you even could finish thought.
Like a rabid
happens
dog.
Happens without the air conditioner on. Oh,
yeah,
man.
Didn't even let me down easy.
Yeah.
Jerk. I know Cronin put him up to that anyway. Probably a buddy of hers. While it's happened again, you've squandered one of your precious few hours of downtime listening to Car Talk. Our esteemed producer is Doug the Subway Fugitive.
Do you mean Bongo Boy Berman?
Bongo Boy Berman. Our esteemed producer is Doug Bongo Boy Berman. I love it.
And you know to whom we owe this? And he wants us to make sure that Berman knows. Who else?
His father.
John Bugsy Lawler. I spoke to him just this morning. He said, when you give it to Dougie, make sure he knows it was me who thought of it.
Our associate producers are David the Cavs of Belleville Green and Catherine Frau Blucher-Fenelosa. Our web lackey is Doug the Old Gray Mayor, assisted by Connie Bridgeford. Our theme music is by David Dog Grisman, and our technical, spiritual, and menu advisor, just back from his Mad Cow This All Beef Lunch Tour, is John Bugsy Lawler.
Bongo Boy Berman.
I got your bongos right here. Our public opinion pollster was Paul Murky of Murky Research, assisted by statistician Marge in Overa. Our customer care representative is Haywood Jubuzoff. Our director of new product repair is Warren T. Myfoot. Our pseudonym consultant is Norm DePlume. Our divorce attorney is Carmine Not Yours. Our bungee jumping instructor is Hugo First. The Car Talk travel agent is Lois Fair Available. Car Talk Plaza's pedestrian advocate is Jay Walker. Our Russian chauffeur is Bikov and Dropoff.
What a man.
The banker at Car Talk Plaza Poker Games is Nikolai Putin, and our seat cushion tester is Mike Easter. Our chief counsel from the law firm of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe is Hugh Lewis Dewey, known to the type A squirrels in Harvard Square as Huey Louie Dewey. Thanks so much for listening. We're Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers. Don't drive like my brother.
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 We'll be back next week. Bye-bye. You can get a podcast of this show, which is number 1942, subscribe to our weekly podcast, and check out our poorly curated clothing and best of collections all over at cartalk.com. Also this week at cartalk.com, are you looking for a good mechanic? Well, you could go down to the marina and see who has the biggest boat, or you can check out reviews of mechanics that other Car Talk listeners use and like at our mechanics files. You can search by zip code, specialty, or number of bunks in the guy's cabin cruiser. Check out the mechanics files anytime over at cartalk.com.
Car Talk is a production of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe and WBUR in Boston.
And even though the universe has second thoughts about expanding whenever we say it, this is NPR.